When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
All right, Holly.
Hey, Holly.
Please bring us the dirt.
I shall bring both of you the dirt this afternoon. We're going to start with an apology from Chrissy Teigen over her past bullying of Courtney Stodden. So,
Did Courtney just give an interview this week? Is that why this is coming out from Chrissy today? Wasn't
yes.
there a big Daily Beast expose, but a big story.
Yes. So Courtney Stodden sat down with the Daily Beast and was talking about their experience being bullied in Hollywood, and specifically pointing out to Chrissy Teigen and some of the mean things that Chrissy Teigen used to say to Courtney Stodden on social media.
Oh, she was terrible.
Was she really?
Yeah. Oh. You know,
really?
Yeah. Courtney Stodden alleged of Teigen in a Daily Beast interview that Chrissy wouldn't just publicly tweet about wanting me to take a, quote, a dirt nap, but would privately DM me and tell me to kill myself.
Things she did not.
Yeah, Chrissy Teigen was like 26 and Courtney was 16, you know, when she married that Doug guy.
No,
all the tweets are still out there for people. People have their screen caps.
So. Yeah, Courtney said things like, I can't wait for you to die, were sent in their direct messages from Chrissy Teigen.
Well, that's really sad.
Yeah. So Chrissy Teigen had a Twitter thread because Chrissy Teigen's back on Twitter. So, you know, she's going to be using that platform.
Yeah.
And Chrissy Teigen said, not a lot of people are lucky enough to be held accountable for all their past bleep in front of the entire world.
Okay. I'm laughing that she started it out like that, because just 3 weeks ago she quit Twitter because she did. She didn't like being held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Chrissy goes on to say, this is a thread. We'll just go through the whole thread.
All right.
Chrissy said, I'm mortified and sad at who I used to be. I was an insecure, attention-seeking troll.
Ooh.
I'm ashamed and completely embarrassed at my behavior, but that is nothing compared to how I made Courtney feel. I've worked so hard to give you guys joy and be beloved, and that feeling of letting you down is nearly unbearable, truly. These were not my only mistakes and surely won't be my last, as hard as I try, but I will try. I've tried to connect with Courtney privately, but since I publicly fueled all of this, I want to also publicly apologize. I'm so sorry, Courtney. I hope you can heal now, knowing how deeply sorry I am. I am sorry I let you guys down. I will forever work on being better than I was 10 years ago, 1 year ago, 6 months ago.
The heat must have been on with Chrissy's partnerships with Target and her Chris Jenner.
Right.
I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
yeah. Well, Courtney has talked about this in the past.
Yes.
Courtney has been public about their experience of being bullied by Chrissy Teigen specifically, and calling out Chrissy Teigen for the things that Chrissy put in their DMs. And now, I think that you're exactly right. Chrissy Teigen is in a position where her public image is more of being family friendly.
Yes.
It is being relatable. It is almost like, you know, your best friend next door who happens to be very glamorous and extremely talented in the kitchen.
This is very mean. Parts of that sound like her, like she did it, like where I was an insecure, attention seeking troll and I'm mortified and sad at who I used to be. But that is also mixed in with the publicist thing. And Courtney Stodden weighed in on this?
I believe that Courtney Stodden has not. But I don't see if they've made any kind of statement regarding Chrissy Teigen yet.
Okay, here it is.
Okay.
Here it
All
is.
Right.
She did. I accept her apology and forgive her, but the truth remains the same. I've never heard from her or her camp in private. Didn't Chrissy just say she tried to reach out?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she blocked me on Twitter. All of me wants to believe this is sincere. apology, but it feels like a public attempt to save her partnerships with Target and other brands who are realizing her wokeness is a broken record.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah. So, okay, if you're going to believe Courtney, Chrissy Teigen has not reached out.
Well, I wish that Chrissy would have done more along the lines of, like, explaining why she was mortified that she was, and been specific, victim blaming a 16-year-old girl who was getting trafficked to a man with the consent of her parents. You know, I wish she'd been a little bit like that. She didn't even real, you know, she could have gotten in. I would have advised her to do that instead of how generic she got at the end of her thing, which that felt like the first part of the apology was really her. Like, she probably is mortified and embarrassed when you see these things that she sent to Courtney.
When she's that much older and that Courtney's 16 years old. Oh, that's just terrible.
Yeah.
So Chrissy Teigen owning up to what she did and airing it on Twitter.
Yeah, it's interesting how people are taking a look back. And I mean, good, but I mean, my God, girls are slut shamed. Women are slut shamed.
By women. I mean, this is by women.
Yeah.
By
but
another woman.
The ages and even how Courtney Sutton was treated in general, she's kind of getting the Britney Spears reframing, you know, like really taking a look at, like, what were we all thinking?
Yeah, Courtney Stodden talks in conversation with the Daily Beast about this kind of behavior, not just coming from Chrissy Teigen, but from being called names by Joy Behar and other people in the media, too. I don't have the specific names in front of me right now. But yeah, and there's a lot more to the Courtney Stodden story than the public perception that we had of them 10 years ago, 5-10 years ago, when they were married to Doug Hutchison. So, and the whole, we are in a different place.
Yeah.
Culturally, even just from 10 years ago.
Right. And I'm glad about that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Progress.
Progress.
Shayna Mochler is talking about her ex Travis Barker and his new girlfriend Kourtney Kardashian.
Okay, good. I want to hear this.
Well, she's talking to people exclusively. Shayna Mochler says, "I'm very much over my ex. It's been a long time. However, I do think some of the PDA he's doing with her is weird."
Yes, so do we.
She says, in a question. And so she says, I think it's weird. And she says she has no ill will towards Kourtney Kardashian and only wishes them the best. But, you know, she's giving the Minnesota interesting explanation.
Yeah, she can't believe what Kourtney Kardashian is talking her ex into doing for declarations of love for ratings for the show, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, and the latest news of those lovebirds, Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker, is that Kourtney Kardashian gave Travis Barker a tattoo on his forearm. It says, "I love you," and she wrote it herself using the tattoo pen.
We'd rather hear more about Bennifer, that 2.0. That's more fun.
Very much so. Well, finally, here, we'll just end in some celebrity relationship news. Apparently, Bill Gates told his golf buddies that his marriage to Melinda Gates was loveless. This according to a source at the
Post. Oh, so Bill's people are finally firing back in a roundabout way.
Yes.
That's coming straight from Camp Bill.
Mm-hmm. Because his friend says that he told him a while back the marriage was loveless, had been over for some time, and that he and Melinda Gates were living separate lives.
Yeah. Well, if they'd walked by me at the fair, I would have pegged them as a couple not having sex. I got to be honest.
Oh, Lori, she would have. No, this is the game we play.
Who's having sex with each other at the fair? Oh, my goodness.
Well, you can tell, Holly. You can
tell. Scandal.
It was quite the scandal.
I thought we would do something that has scandalized us for as long as we've been on the air. But
all right.
And I think Donnie used to try and explain to us. But now I just, it doesn't make any sense to anybody in the world why Cher isn't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And the thing that really got me thinking about this was, okay, first of all, I mean, Cher, she don't need no stinking Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She can just polish her Emmy, her Grammys, her Oscar, her Kennedy Center honor. But it was in reading this interview with Nile Rodgers from Chic and, you know,
amazing
performer. He was opening for her on that 2019 tour.
Okay.
That she did that was going, and then 2020 kind of came along, and then, you know, Cher's stuff was canceled, but she always has like a really great opening act. We've seen her with Cyndi Lauper.
Who was the other one?
I can't think of it, but he was inducted in 2019, I think it was, in the Songwriting Hall of Fame, and he was giving an interview. And so he's like, okay, 100 million records sold, check. Super successful sold out tours for decades, check. Multiple awards, check. Influence over younger generations, check. In an iconic 60s duo group as Sonny and Cher.
Right.
So he's like, he said, let's talk about Cher in the sense of baseball. When you look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the announcer says, you know, you got a baseball player who steps up and he's got an unbelievable RBI. He's got huge home run statistics. Okay, folks, we're looking at a future Hall of Famer here. You know, he said, because they do it on statistics. He said, in the music business, you can perform at the level of Cher for that many years and not get in the Hall of Fame. He said, it doesn't make any sense. And I was
she nominated even? Has she been?
She's been eligible for years.
I understand that, but is she
since 91?
Has anybody, do you have to have someone nominate you to get in, Lori? That's what I don't get.
I don't know. When she talked about it 10 years ago, she did a Vanity Fair profile, and that was the last I could hear or could find about her speaking out about it. I'm not interested in what their damn nominating process is.
Okay.
I'm just interested in the fact that Cher should be in it, and I don't care about all their garbage rules, whatever that might be, because it's Cher, for goodness sakes. But in 2010, in Vanity Fair, she was asked about it, and she said this. She said, well, Sonny and I still aren't in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it just seems kind of rude. Sonny was a good writer, and we started something that no one else was doing. We were just weird hippies before there was a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
When the Beatles were wearing sweet little haircuts and round collared suits, we influenced a generation. It's like, okay, what more do you want?
Right.
So I love it that even the one, you know, that she brings it up from this, even from Sonny and Cher perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an interesting point about that, because I mean, Sonny and Cher, they were the only ones that were doing that.
They'd gone
to England and discovered Carnaby Street and all the designers, and they came back and they kind of brought England and married it with sort of the hippie thing.
They did.
And they were the coolest. Right. So I mean, you know, and then if you just count Cher alone, music, TV, movies,
everything that she's done.
Legend.
Uh-huh.
And the two biggest beefs that people have really had, that people have felt strongly about, was Tina Turner and Cher not being in it. They consistently have been the fan favorites. Like, you know, I don't know.
Should we tell Julia that Barbara Streisand's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I mean, how does that make you feel?
Okay, so here's my thing with the name of this thing.
I agree with everything you're about to say.
It needs to be called the Music Hall of Fame, because since it was always called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I didn't think Barbara Streisand should be in it.
Right.
But it seems like they've been changing it over the past decade of who gets in and who doesn't get in. So just change the damn name.
Well, they're not going to do that. But here's the weird thing about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay, so it was supposed to just be a TV special, according to Joe Hagan's Sticky Fingers. This TV producer by the name of Bruce Branwyn came up with the show idea in 1982 called The Kings and Queens of Rock and Roll. And he would put various greats from the 50s and 60s up on stage, tape their performances, give them awards, and package it like in a pay-per-view TV thing. And an ad man he knew said, you got to have a better name. And he said, call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And they set up, you know, induction. They had a little mini museum. And He set it up as a nonprofit, and then he hired Bob Dylan's lawyer, David Braun, who recruited Atlanta Records exec Ahmet Ertegun to head up the hall. Then Ertegun stacked the board of directors with lawyers, agents, and brass from other record companies. And then one of the directors reached out to Jan Wenner.
Okay.
Rolling Stone magazine and publisher and rock and roll tastemaker. And Jan wanted to be on the nominating committee.
Got it.
And he turned that down. And the reason that they just kept, they end up forcing this guy out whose original idea it was.
Okay.
They call it a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because this group from Cleveland, including the DJ Alan Freed, who came up with rock and roll as a phrase.
Oh, okay.
He pitched the hall on setting up this massive museum there. And the board took bids from Philadelphia and Memphis before going with Cleveland. And why did they go with Cleveland? I'll give you one guess.
Money.
That's right, Julia. The Cleveland gave them $65 million worth of subsidies. And that's why.
$65 million in what year?
So this would have been, I don't know what year the the museum opened up, but in the 90s,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, because it hasn't been that long.
Well, it's been over 20 years, you know. But anyway, they booted out the other guy who came up with the whole show. And then, you know, when it first began inducting artists in the late 80s, they did not have the support of the most important rock star of all, Paul McCartney of the Beatles and Wings. And when they inducted the Beatles in 1988, Paul McCartney didn't attend the ceremony.
Oh, Paul.
And he blamed it on the ongoing and unsettled business differences that were going on. McCartney said he would have felt like a complete hypocrite waving and smiling with Ringo and George Harrison at a fake reunion. And Mike Love, who was getting inducted for the Beach Boys, called McCartney out that night and said, "It's sad there are other people who aren't here tonight, you know, those who passed away, or people like Paul McCartney who couldn't be here because he's suing Ringo and Yoko."
Okay.
So it's, you know, and they jerked Paul McCartney around on his induction. Paul McCartney was very vocal about, you know, why it was taking, you know, like John Lennon went in before he did, and he felt they should have gone together because as a song writing team, he was very put out about that.
Right.
And Jan Wenner said, "You do Lennon's solo inductee introduction. We'll have you be a solo act the next year." They didn't do it. I mean, there's always been all this kind of
It feels dirty
stuff about it. Well, I don't know if it is. There have been people that have turned down. The Sex Pistols didn't want any part of it. Guns N' Roses was inducted. Only the Guns you know. No Axel.
It just needs to change its name.
Van Halen sent all of its fired members.
Right. So if you're all over it about Cher, the only thing I'm saying is it needs to change. I feel like the place should just change its name.
Yeah. It's not going to change its name, though, because there's too much invested in that name. People think, and that is where the, you know, I don't know about Barbara Streisand. I never thought of her being in a rock and roll.
No, yeah, but look who is in it.
But see, that's how I'm feeling when
there's folk artists, there's dance, there's like ABBA.
Carly Simon, is she a rock and roll lady? No.
I would say so.
Carly Simon, you consider rock and roll?
I would. Yeah.
I mean, at this point, it feels like it should be called the late 20th century pop music.
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
And in that case, both Cher and Barbara Streisand should be first ballots.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I am glad that Cher is not bothered about that. Who needs the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Cher doesn't need it, but that is a big diss that she and Sonny, and then she alone, just on her career alone, and Cher is definitely a rocker. You don't see too many chicks getting on a Navy ship in their fish nets singing a song, you know, that's
"If I Could Turn Back Time."
I mean, there's no argument that, you know, Cher is rock and roll. You can't even, you know, begin for that. But
there's an argument that Carly Simon isn't Rock and Roll Lori, whether you like it or not. I mean, they have all different walks. It's just a goofy thing now at this point. And I'm glad Cher doesn't give it any. Who cares?
She
so
doesn't.
Bad, so sad.
But it is rude and it is wrong. And it is the number one obvious fan choice. People are just like, this is why they give the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame no credibility.
I don't think it has any.
For that reason alone.
I don't think it knows who it is or who it wants to be.
And some people, it's because Motley Crue is supposedly banned from ever getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Because they should be in there.
Yeah. No, they're not. Nikki Sixx has many theories about it, but probably pissing off Jan Wenner. But that's what it is. But if you wanted to know like more about it, it just doesn't make any sense for Cher. It just really doesn't, and it's wrong. Nobody has ever said it doesn't make sense for Barbara Streisand. That has never been an argument.
I did.
Yeah, you brought that totally derailed everything. My indignation and hurt for Cher was trying to.
No,
you were trying to
felt your pain.
You were trying to rain on my vintage scandal parade.
I think
parade.
I'm likening it
you
by
were
saying
raining
that.
On my vintage scandal parade, and now
that's
we
a Barbara Streisand song.
Thank
don't
you.
Tell me what
I get
to
it.
Do.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think we all agree that they. I don't know. If it's a pop culture music Hall of Fame, then these people we've talked about should be in. If Carly Simon's in, Barbara Streisand should be in.
There you go. All right, we'll be right back.
Pink
is,
fan.
I heard this is really kind of good. This is that tour she was on for like a year and a half.
It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah.
She's Love delicious. Her. Okay, so I have a funny headline for you that I wanted to use for you to Hollywood speak.
Okay.
Seth Rogen has been speaking up a lot. He's got his whole new brand of weed that's come out. You know,
he's got his memoir, musings,
kind
essays.
Of, yes,
he's telling stories about famous people in it.
Yes,
I like
he is,
it.
And he's also EVPing on the Tommy and Pam thing.
He's starring in it. He's playing one of the garage hijackers, one of the guys who stole the vault with the sex tape, the big safe.
Yeah.
He's playing one of the guys that was supposedly owed money.
I love it. All right. I love it. So, anywho, he was on with Howard Stern, and he's 39 years old, and he says that, you know, he and his wife that he's been married to since 2011, Lauren, they just don't want kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, people always ask him, how do you do so much work? How are you always so busy? You get so much done. He's like, duh, I don't have kids.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I have nothing else to do. I don't have kids. Why not?
Yeah.
And he said, I would say she wants kids less than I do about his wife. I could probably be talked into it, but she's like a definite no. And then he said, my wife and I, we just have so much fun. And then he went on to say, I don't know anyone who gets as much happiness out of their kids as we get out of our non-kids. And then he says, like, we're bleeping psyched all the time. We're laying in bed on Saturday morning, smoking weed, watching movies naked. If we had kids, we couldn't be bleeping doing this.
This is probably true.
It doesn't. Kids don't sound like fun to me.
I don't know. I mean, I get it. I kind of get it.
I know you would.
Yeah, I kind of get it, but he looks unrecognizable.
Show me that picture again.
He shaved off his beard and he's got a mullet to play.
Yeah, that does not even look like him.
To play this guy, Rand Gauthier.
The
carpenter who decided to
steal everything.
Well, they took a big safe that was out in the garage.
Yeah.
And they figured they'd crack it later. It almost looked like one of those, like a gun safe.
Sure. Right.
And apparently the tape was in the bottom drawer.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You got to be careful where you keep your VCR tapes.
That's right.
Now, that's the lesson learned there.
Here's a little thing from Du Mois. Instagram. There's some always some good gossip there. And Ellen T is pouring hot and fast. Now the people who didn't get in on the story, here's a story that Ellen relished hiding nuts, pretzels, olives under the drapes and sofa, then totally losing it if it was still there when she got home. If anything was amiss when she got home, she'd immediately run around the entire property photographing evidence of mine and anyone else on the staff our failures. One time she made me come to work at 11 p.m. on a Friday night to take her Porsche to the gas station. All the cars had to always have 3/4 of a tank of gas. And she had friends coming to stay at the LA house on Saturday. And she and Portia were in Santa Barbara. She insisted I go back to the house and check the tank. I said, I'll do it Saturday morning, hours before the guests arrive. No, go now. Take a photo of the receipt at the gas station, plus a photo of the gas gauge.
So she was... The thing that I don't like about all that, I mean, I can understand. I like to have my gas tank 3/4 of a tank full at all times, too. But I do it myself. But I really do understand that. I mean, that is just like an always be prepared mode. But the thing about hiding like nuts and hiding walnuts and trying to catch people failing in their job, setting up people. You hear that with people, with cleaning people, and primarily from her.
Yeah.
We've heard these stories.
We've heard this story already
over the year that we've been hearing kind of these stories leak out about her. I think that is just mean-spirited. I don't get that at all. To set up, but first of all, you know, you could attract ants, you could do all these things because you're trying to set up someone to fail. That's just silly.
Yeah.
That to me is just...
I'm always so grateful that somebody is willing to clean my house.
Of course.
And I'm getting to pay them and that they're still doing it.
Lori,
and I mean, yeah.
I miss my days of being a housewife.
Yeah.
Which I never was, but the dual income when I had a cleaning lady. I haven't had one since I've been divorced. I would die to have one.
Well, listen, I'm going to watch Ellen tomorrow.
Yeah.
I DVR'd it today so I could hear what she said. And tomorrow Oprah's on. And I want, I want Oprah to say to her, are you challenged or is this a challenge? Is it a challenge to be
nice? Well, and why
nice?
Are you living with Courtney Cox and where is Portia living?
Because she's doing her show. And Portia wants to be in Montecito riding the horses and tending to the garden.
She, you know what? She should have never signed again.
The chickens.
And visiting the chickens.
Mm-hmm. The very expensive dream is over. Mohammed Hadid sells his half-built Bel Air mega mansion for $8.5 million to someone who will spend $5 million tearing it down. Only in Beverly Hills do we see this headline. This house was a monstrosity.
It was a monstrosity. We saw it, Lori.
Someone is paying $8.5 million for a house that they know is going to cost $5 million to tear down.
Because they want the property. And they're going to build something that fits into the environment. There, Lori, it's location, location, location.
Yes, but we're location. All the rest of us, Rocco, are slapping our heads over that real estate buy.
Well.
Oh, well.
Everyone, have a fantastic night. Hump night. Hump away. We'll be back tomorrow.
Congrats to Shauna for winning that pink thing.
Awesome. Thanks for doing that, Rocco. All right, we'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you.